move some stuff around here real quick. Happy New Year. I love that video as well. You will have troubles in this life. But I love when Jesus says, but I have overcome the world. Do you capture the gravity of that? The significance of that? Well, I am going to once again attempt to use my iPad to control the entire building. And it will probably not work perfectly, but we will give it a great shot here. Let's see here. There it is. Sweet. Let me back a notch up. There we go. Well, this new thing. This new thing that God is going to do. I want to talk about that in 2021. That's kind of what I want to open today. My message today will be very simple. But I hope that you'll take it as a really big handle to hang on to a lot of stuff with over the course of 2021. Because I believe it'll be something that we're going to need to refer back to over and over and over again. But first, let me welcome all of you to Church in the Falls. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're online with us, this is a great place, and we'd love to have you join us. But we're very glad that you're joining us online. Let me remind you of the things that make us run around here. Our vision is a very simple vision. It is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. And knowing is not this idea of intellectual knowledge. It's an experience with God. We want to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we want to help others experience Him by making Him known. And this is important because at the end of the day, there's nothing that can't be overshadowed by the story of the man Jesus Christ and what He did. We'll talk a little bit more about that as well. Our mission, the things we're going to do to bring about that vision, is that we're embracing God. This is about that relationship. We're encouraging one another. That is why we join together. It's just a fellowship of our life here. And then we're equipping the church to engage the world. That's part of letting others know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about us helping one another, getting ourselves tuned up and ready to go. And as we've said many times, it is okay to be not okay at Church in the Falls. This is such an important concept because God meets us where we're at. And if we are open to that, He can do incredible things with, for, and through us. And that is why we say that we're a family that who? Anyone can belong to, right? It is a safe place. And so I want to invite you, whether you be on a unique journey with the Lord or kind of against Him right now, a little angry, maybe online you're just peeking in to see what's going on with those crazy Christian folks. And I think that is awesome because this is a safe place to have conversations, hard conversations. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I do not have all the answers. The Word of God provides a wealth of knowledge about what it means to live the life successfully. And that is what we spend our time studying here. But none of us have all the answers, do we? So wherever you're coming from, you belong here. You're a family that you're part of a family that anyone can belong to. And even more, people who wear clothing like I'm about to show you can belong here at Church in the Falls as well. Now, I want to set this up. This is a red carpet event. Now, what do you know about the red carpet? How are you supposed to dress when you go to the red carpet? It's supposed to be big, right? This is your moment where the cameras are coming from three angles and you're going to get a chance to say something and everybody is going to judge you in a very unique way. And then on this red carpet, you have moments like this. When I see that, I want to say, God bless you, Lena. You know, it's just something's not right there. Or maybe Natasha. This is your moment, Natasha. Or maybe Ava Max. I don't know what was going on there. Still a little confused by it. Or Katy Perry. She looks like blood and water or something. Not sure exactly what she was going for there. But you see that and you think, something's not right. We just watched the new Wonder Woman, Kristen Wiig here, 2020. I was thinking that was a ribbon on top of a package maybe. I don't know exactly what that is. But my favorite / worst, Lady Gaga in the meat dress. Now, I love meat, but it does not belong on a dress. Nobody's going to give me an amen for that. It does not belong on a dress. You see these things and you go, okay, that's just not right. Something's missing there. Or whenever, have you ever been out in public and you go to the bathroom and you smile and there's a big giant piece of green something in your teeth? What's the first thing you say to yourself? Why did someone, right? How long has it been there? Or you get up to do something public and your fly is down and 30 minutes later you discover this fact and you've noticed the weird looks but nobody says anything to you. Or maybe a situation like this. This is the moment where you're ascending into Air Force One and you're the President of the United States, right? And everybody's asking the question and thinking, what? Why didn't someone tell him, right? Can you relate to that? Because at the end of the day, we expect others to help us have clarity. It's okay to be not okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. We're shifting that direction a little bit in 2021. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we have clarity and we take serious what's going on. That is the new thing that Jesus wants to do. Is to say, you know what, it's okay to be not okay, but I've got a new idea for you. And that is that it's not okay to stay not okay. Did you know that you can be and do and live better? Well, I don't know, Jesus. I don't want a bunch of rules. I'm not interested in rules. I'm interested in roles, opportunities, moments where you can step in and your heart will race and you'll naturally evolve into something better by following my lead. Because there's a new thing God has planned. Now today, I would like to not leave you hanging with green things in your teeth. Like most of you have done with me today. You see what I'm wearing, right? Nobody said a word to me today. Not a thing. I showed this to my daughter yesterday and she went. She didn't have words for it. And I said, no, you got to tell me more. What? Why? Daddy, you don't put warm and cold colors together, and you don't put pattern. That doesn't. She says to me, "This doesn't match. All these pieces look great by themselves, but when you put them together, they look like the red carpet folk." And some of you, if you're honest, are saying, "Bless your heart, David. Where's Julie?" Right? Yet not a one of you said anything to me today. Now, maybe you're sparing my feelings and you're being kind and blah, blah, blah. But when we're talking about spiritual matters, to not speak of green things in your spiritual teeth is to dishonor your brother and sister. So 2021 needs to be a time where we grab hold of that truth and share it with each other. In love, of course, we don't want to just be mean or cruel, but to speak the truth in love is what the goal is. And I want to take us back to a passage from James 1. And we really could take a whole series on James. It's such a unique and special book. But I want to just kind of focus a thought to set us up this year. James says, don't just listen to the word. You fool yourselves if you do that. You must do what it says. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror. Now, let me just pause for a second right there. What would have helped me today? If I'd have just looked in the mirror, right? Something about that is really important. Hang on to that. seen clearly by looking at yourself in the mirror. James says that hearing God's word, reading his word and studying it is like a mirror. It gives you a reflection of something that you need to know. But if you see that and then you go and do nothing, it makes you foolish. So he's trying to draw our attention to something really important here. I've always heard it said that when you know better, you do better. But if you don't do anything different when you know better, then knowing better doesn't do you any good. Can you see how that relates? It's not enough to just know better. We must know better in order to do better. If I had looked in the mirror this morning and said, great. Or, more likely, it's good enough. Then there would be no advantage. I'd be dressed just like I am today, even though I looked in the mirror. So it's important that it's more than just the mirror. We have to look at it and think about it and respond to it. Because if we don't do anything about what we see, and you just go away and immediately forget how you looked, it makes you, according to James, foolish. So this is the idea we have to hang on to here. Seeing clearly, looking at the mirror, which in this context is the Word of God, and reflecting it upon ourselves in such a way, not to have more knowledge. Nobody cares about knowledge. We don't know the Lord Jesus Christ by knowing what color His hair is. We know the Lord Jesus Christ by suffering with Him, by walking with Him, by forgiving like He forgave. And we experience Him by doing something as we reflect on who we are. The 2020 vision was to gain 2020 vision. Do you recall? And God has sent us a whopper of pain. The beginning of the passage that we just read, James starts with, "Woo! It's great when things are awful." Do you remember that? "It's wonderful. Consider it pure joy," he says, "when things are really bad. Sufferings of every kind." I seriously want to smack James when I read that. That looks a lot like 2020. We ask for 2020 vision to see clearly, and God layers us, gives us an opportunity to see ourselves through really stressful times. And it's uniquely stressful for all of us. My focus in 2021 is this. Don't forget what you saw in 2020. It's not enough just to look and see clearly. James says you look in the mirror, you see clearly, and then you walk away and you forget what you saw. It does you no good. And I really don't want to repeat 2020, do you? So why don't we take it now and go ahead and commit to 2021 this. What we saw and what we learned in our 2020 vision of what life is and the struggles that are here and the things that I have an opportunity to learn from. And if you haven't learned, open your eyes, look in the mirror, let's start there. But I'm guessing many of you have seen and learned some stuff this last year. 2021 is about saying, it's okay to be not okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. I'd like to take a step forward with God. 2021 is the year to do it. Because I've looked in the mirror, I've seen something, and now I want to do something about it. That's the whole year. And we're going to navigate through that in a lot of different ways. But I want to spend a little time on James, because I think it's important to understand the context of where he's talking about. He starts off with all this, consider it pure joy, and then he gets to this part, and he says, it's like looking in the mirror and walking away and forgetting. And what is he talking about? Why is he saying what he's saying? And I want to give you a little context. If you recall, Michael Jr. has a really funny bit about this. And I want to start with that. Here's Michael
Jesus
Jr.
Jesus had a little brother. Anybody know his name? James. When I read that, I was like, how much pressure was that? Jesus, your big brother? How many times did you have to hear, why come you can't be more like Jesus, James? Because you know, everybody probably thought that James could do the same thing Jesus could do, but he couldn't. He was just James. He wasn't James Christ. Remember the wedding banquet? Jesus turned water into wine. Everybody was amazed, but they don't tell you about the next banquet. Jesus left early. They started running out of wine. Everybody looked at James. It's like, man, last time this happened, your brother made some wine, dude. You just going to stand there with your sandals on? You're not going to... Can you make some Kool-Aid or something, man? You're not going to do anything? You know James had problems just like any other kid had problems. He'd try to follow his big brother around. So everywhere Jesus went, James followed him. That's what little brothers do. So if Jesus went there, so did James. I bet one time James almost drowned. Oh, you just got that joke just now, didn't you? Jesus walked on water and James tried to exist. James had problems. He would go to his parents with his problems, and you know what they would say? He'd be like, well, what would Jesus do? You know? Then they gave him a bracelet. And
now just think for a minute. That's funny, but boy, is there a lot of truth in that, right? Can you imagine what that was like? Growing up in the family where the Messiah was born, and you're not sure you believe that. And he's your older brother, and you're next in line, which means you get all the responsibility that he slacks off of. Just imagine that for a minute. The kind of family dynamic. The two older brothers tend to knock heads a little bit no matter what you do, because that's what boys do, right? There's a tension there. Imagine what it would be like. Remember when Jesus was out preaching and teaching? His family comes to visit. And Jesus was speaking to the crowd. His mother and brother stood outside asking to speak to him. Now, this is the oldest brother. As far as we know, Joseph has already passed on. So who's in charge of the family? The oldest brother. And he's out preaching and teaching. And mom and brothers come and say, hey, we need something, Jesus. New leader of the realm family. And this is what Jesus does. Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Jesus asks, well, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Say, what? Just think about that for a minute. You're James on the other side of the door, and this is what you experience. He said, what? Oh. Mary's like, it's okay, James. I mean, just imagine the context here. Just one of many stories, I'm sure. He then pointed to his disciples and he said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Now, the good news is that's for us. The bad news is if your little brother, James, and you see and hear those words, what are you thinking? If you weren't already frustrated, you just blew your top. That is just, are you kidding me? How in the world could you be so irresponsible? This is Mary, your mother. She carried you for 9 months. I mean, just can imagine, right? The intensity of that kind of a story. And again, this is a drop in the bucket of, I'm sure, many stories like it. Family dynamics. Jesus goes on, if anyone does the will of my Father in heaven, that is my brother, and that is my sister, and that is my mother. Now, do you think he's calling out his family who are right on the other side of the door? It's almost like he's saying, yeah, they don't do that, but if you guys do, you get to be my family. I'm so important, I can pick whoever I want as my family. And they're not good enough. That's what James is probably hearing. Think of all the scandal in Jesus' earlier life. I'm sure James has got an earful. He's not sure what happened with mom and dad, but it wasn't good. And now I've got to live and this guy, right? The intensity and the stress of something. It almost like he disowns them in a strange sort of way. You can imagine how pompous James is thinking Jesus is. He's a nice guy, but oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? That's the one thing you don't do in ancient Israel. You don't neglect your family. Or maybe they were coming to him because they were already past that point. Maybe they were just embarrassed at this point. I can't believe he's saying the things he's saying. We got to stop him. Jesus, can we talk to you? No, don't have time for you right now. I've got new brothers and sisters now. There's no good to this story. It's painful and frustrating. And Jesus goes on, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. You must hate your father. You must hate your mother. You must hate your wife. You must hate your children. And James, for sure, your brothers. And your sisters. And yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. So do you want to be my disciple? James, we know your answer is no. You can only imagine how much salt and wound that creates in moments like that. And that's when things are good, there's conflict. But when you start adding these kind of speeches in, James comes at a disadvantage. James probably is thinking he's genuinely crazy. You think you're the Messiah? I have smelled you sweat through your teen years. I know you're not the Messiah. Remember that time you said, and you remember the time you wandered off and we left you in Jerusalem? You remember that, Jesus? And you're the Messiah. The tension of that. I mean, how would you act if your sibling came out and said, I am Jesus incarnate. I am the return of God to the world. I am the one that has been prophesied about for years. I'm going to bring deliverance to the people. All that excitement you have, it's about me. And I could choose whatever brother and sister I want. I'm not sure that these guys fit with it yet. What would you think about your brother or sister? Honestly. They wear your clothing and you want to punch them. But if they step out into the world and embarrass your family at that level, there's no mention of James at the cross. I bet he was feeling very embarrassed that his older brother would leave the family high and dry because he's on this crazy quest and it got him killed. And I feel sad that he got killed, but oh my goodness, how could you be so selfish? Mom is down at the foot of the cross, crying and overwhelmed, and you're just going to let that go? Just a little perspective on where James might be coming from. Another story, he returns to Nazareth, his hometown, right? This is where Mary and James and all the family live. And everyone was amazed at his teaching. They said, where did he get this wisdom? And the power to do miracles. And then they scoffed. Now just pause for a minute. Why do you scoff when someone is teaching really great and doing miracles? You're thinking to yourself, okay, I know you. You're the bratty kid from 3rd Street. And you're, what did you do? Did you go out and like pay off some magician? Or, I mean, did you do a deal with the devil? This, something's not right. I know who you are and you're not that. So it turns from you're teaching a little too good to I'm really angry about the fact that you're teaching so good and doing miracles. Something's not right here. This smells funny. What have you sold out in order to be this person that you're pretending to be? And they scoffed at him. This is the whole town, right? And then they said, he's the carpenter's son. We know him. We know Mary and we know his mother and the brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. Notice James is top of the list. Little baby brother Judas, that's important, remember that. And all his sisters, they live right here. Where did he learn all these things? And they were deeply offended. And they refused to believe in him. That's the whole town. How do you think James is feeling about this older brother? It's not a cozy scenario. How double dare you? Come home and pretend. I mean, it's one thing to do it over there and try to fool the Romans. More power to you. But don't come in, don't come home and think that we're going to be okay with that. We know you. You're not all that in a bag of chips. So stop with the charade. And Jesus says, well, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family. This is the part I want you to get. And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. Do you realize that disbelief and unbelief can limit the miraculous in your life? Have you ever thought about that? It's called unbelief. That's what, there's believers and there's unbelief. And those who go and walk with the Lord are called believers. And those who do not walk with the Lord are called unbelievers. Unbelievers reduces the miracles in your life. It breaks it down. It separates. Jesus didn't do miracles because of their unbelief. That is such a strong statement about how important it is to, when we see things clearly, like Jesus working miracles and teaching great, that we put our faith and trust in it, if it's worthy of that. Seeing clearly must be followed with doing something about it. James was not there yet. He had seen a lot of stuff, but he was not believing. And he joined in with the town and dishonored his brothers. So let's look at that passage one more time. Don't just listen to the word, James says. Now, what do we call Jesus in the beginning was the Word. Huh. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we didn't even recognize him. James says, don't just listen to the Word, because you fool yourself if you do that. You must do what it, but here's the thing, it's masculine. It could just as easily be translated and do what he says. He's talking about the Word of God, so they make it neuter, but it is a masculine in the Greek. It could be translated either way. Depends on what you think James means here. But I don't think that's an accident. Something happened to James. He heard the word. He saw his brother. He experienced the miracles. He knew what was going on. He saw clearly, but he didn't do anything about it until one day he did. And now he's telling all of us, don't do what I did. Don't just hear the word and walk away and pretend like you don't even know what's going on and forget what you look like. No, no, don't do that. Instead, when you listen to the word, when you experience the Lord Jesus Christ, respond to it accordingly. And let God lead you somewhere different than where you are. Because it's okay to be not okay, but it is not okay to stay not okay. There's an opportunity here. I think he's speaking from his experience. James had a really unique experience with Jesus. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:7, the great passage where Paul comes out and he says, I want to remind you, kind of like he's summing the whole book up, I want to remind you the most important thing, the gospel that I shared with you, on which you've taken your stand. And if you continue to stand on it, you're going to be good. If not, it's been all in vain. So this is important. He's about to tell you something big. And then he says, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, all according to the scriptures. Don't miss that. That's the most important thing. The DBR, the death, burial, and resurrection. Don't. Oh, and by the way, and then he started to resurrect and he began to show himself. First to this and that and the others and the apostles and 500, some are dead, some are alive. He begins to give the witness of this three really important things, this death, this burial, and this resurrection. It is the most important thing. If you stand on it, you live. If not, you lose. So don't miss it, he says. And he appeared to all these people. And his point at the end of it is, even me, as broken as I was, God, Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus. But right before he says that, he has this phrase. And then he appeared to James. There's all these things and this and all these people and the apostles. And then to James. What was that like? James. He wasn't even at the cross. He is dealing with life. His mom has been given away to John per Jesus' request on the cross. He is literally in that moment of what just happened. And Jesus, his older brother, shows up and appears to him. Looks him in the eye, probably grabs him around the shoulders and says, James. Do you know James was called camel knees because he would pray so long on his knees that his knees became rough like camel knees? I imagine it started right in that moment. Jesus appears to him out of nowhere and he falls to his knees and he's like, oh no. Oh no, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Maybe like Paul did, right? Who are you, Lord? I don't know what to do here. And I just imagine brotherly love, he probably sweetly embraced his little baby brother and said something like, James, you got work to do. I need you to get up. I need you to go to Jerusalem. I need you to lead people to know what you now know. Because you've seen clearly. And it is okay to be not okay, James, but it is not okay to stay not okay. Now's your moment, James. I see you, I hear you, I love you. You're my baby bro, and I've got something for you to do. And now that you see clearly, it is time to do something about it. And boy, did he. Biblically, when you read, Paul refers to him as an apostle. He is referred to as the leader of the elders who seem to have authority over all the 12 apostles by some of the stories we read in Acts. I don't know what all that's about. But he says, my decision is, after all the apostles and elders discuss. Something's going on there. James, the brother of Jesus, speaks with authority because he had a direct one-on-one encounter with his older brother post-crucifixion and resurrection. Something happened there and he saw clearly. And it changed him. And he says to us, don't look at the word. Don't see this. Don't understand this story and walk away unchanged. There's too much at stake. You can let your preacher dress funny. But don't let your spiritual life miss what's going on. Finally, James believes. Because once he saw clearly, he had responsibility. And I want to ask you to think this way. Once we've seen clearly, once we've survived 2020 vision, and you cannot say that 2020 was not the most weird, unique year probably of our lives, with maybe a few exceptions out there. I don't think that's by accident. We asked and prayed, God, give us 2020 vision. In the year 2020. Help us to see clearly. And we're like, what are you doing, God? I want you to show me something. Quit bothering me with all this mess. God's like, I know. I'm trying to show you something. Can you just show me what I need to know? Can we stop with all this already? My hope is that 2021 gets glorious. But even if it isn't, and especially if it is, let us not forget what we've learned in 2020. And if you didn't learn anything, that's the first thing you need to do. What did God teach you? Consider pure joy, how he starts the chapter, right? He knows what he's talking about here. Consider pure joy when you have problems of every kind, because eventually it's going to teach you something you need to know. And don't look at the word and miss it. And walk away as if you don't remember what you look like and how bad you look. It's time to change some things. It's time to see clearly in 2020 and move into a different place. Because there's two important things. Seeing clearly. And doing something about it. That is what 2021 will be about. Now there's a lot of things that I'm processing through. And there's a bunch of them that I don't have a good order on. But the handle I want you to grab a hold of as we head into 2021 is just that simple. It's okay to be not okay. 2021 is it's not okay to stay not okay. I want to challenge you to really seek clarity from God. Allow Him to nudge you in directions that you need to do. Again, it's not about doing. You know how I feel about that. This is not a works kind of scenario. This is about experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something He is going to nudge you with this year. Something to tackle, something to take on. I will suggest to you one little idea. At the beginning of the year, I always think this is a really important invitation. The Word is what changes us. The Holy Spirit nudges us, the life of Christ. Those are the things that are going to transform us. All of it can be wrapped into the Word. You know, the Spirit of God brings the Word about. The Word of God is the Word of God that we read. And then the Word of God is the Son of God, the man Jesus Christ. All of those are appropriate in this discussion. So however you frame that, it's fine. But here's what I want you to consider. Consider going through that this year with the intent to say, okay, how do I change who I am based on what I'm experiencing? So you can read the same thing over again. That's okay. Because last year was about seeing clearly. This year is about doing something about it. And maybe search the entire scriptures with one or two small goals that God is going to nudge into your heart. One great way to do that, you guys have seen the Bible Project. We've used that many times in sermons and things. It's fantastic. They have a daily Bible reading program. They send you a week. I think it's every week you get an email with kind of a listing. And there's passages and things that you can read. And then there's videos that they've made. And I'm telling you, I've said it once, I'll say it 100 times over. Those videos from Bible Project are equivalent to what I did at my Master's of Divinity program at my seminary. It's that level of good. And I say that with absolute confidence because I've had multiple experiences. I spent one time, I think 3 or 4 weeks studying a book, reading it over and over and over again, going to commentaries, doing Greek and Hebrew studies, looking at complexities of the text, grabbing my hands around it and saying, okay, I think this is what it means. I watched their video. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It was everything I had learned and a little bit better and creatively done in a 3-minute video. It blew my mind. So I'm telling you with confidence, it's a great way to learn the Bible and to really see honestly. So BibleProject.com, you can sign up for an email and they'll send you stuff during the week or something. Use your Bible app. Use your Dwell app. Let someone read it to you and just soak in the Word of God. But the most important thing is this. These are things you've heard before, okay? 2020 is hindsight, right? We know what's going on. What I want you to do in 2021 is as you hear these things, I want you to filter it like, okay, God, I know that. I've heard that before. Does that affect me? Is that something that I need to deal with? Or is that something that I just am glad I know? And let God nudge you towards a thing or two or three maybe. We'll go Trinitarian. 3 things this year that God's going to nudge you into. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe it's you're going to step into a ministry area that God's been nudging you for years and this is the year to do it. Maybe you're in a situation where you need to make right a relationship in your life and it's just been really hard and for some reason, this is the year to do it. And you're going to, every passage you read is going to yell at you. And you're going to be like, okay, I see. How do I do it? And God's going to open the door and it's going to be one of these journeys you're on during 2021. Maybe it's a situation where you feel like there's some sin in your life that you're just wrestling with. And you're thinking, it's time, whatever it takes. Maybe you're in a situation where you're not sure what tomorrow holds. And God keeps it darker and darker. And you're like, I don't want to not believe you, but I'm afraid to trust you. And God is just nudging you to just say, let it go. And go blindly into tomorrow, knowing God has got it already. Maybe that's where you struggle. I don't know what it is for you. But 2021 is going to be the year where we take these things on and not just see them, but do something about them. Everybody got it? Simple idea, but I promise you it'll be really challenging if you're doing it right. And I want to encourage you in that. Would you join with me? I'm going to offer a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing a song to close out today. And if there's something God is laying on your heart right now and you want to seek some support or help from your ministry staff or our elders here, please do that. We have a prayer room right outside that exit sign. Go out right there and there'll be someone to receive you. You can reach out to us during the week. Emails and phone numbers are on our bulletin. But please, don't let that pass. If there's something we can help you with, just even talking with you or praying with you, we want to do that. Because we know sometimes that's the hardest thing. One of the greatest blessings I ever had was before I came here, when I was in Texas, I spent about 9 months at a church where nobody knew me. I mean, I was anonymous. I didn't do anything except soak it in. And I went for prayer every other week. I had elders I never met before praying over me. It filled me up. And it brought me here. And we want to offer that to you. So if we can be a blessing to you, please reach out. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us, and we are humbled by a new year. We are humbled by the 2020 vision that we've been given, the things that we're seeing in our lives that are not condemnation, but just an opportunity to grow and mature in our knowledge, our experience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to do that this year, Lord. I pray that 2021 would be sufficiently nudged with your Holy Spirit and consistently informed with the Word, be it the papal Word or the life of Christ himself, or all the above. Lord, use these things. Draw us to your heart that we may serve you better and be more like you've called us to be. Lord, I thank you and I praise you, and I ask that if anyone has a need, Lord, that you would nudge them to reach out. Allow us to serve one another in the fellowship you designed in this church. We're grateful and we are thankful. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Mm-hmm.